Good morning, and welcome to Simply CRE. It's Tuesday, April 16th. On today's show, an expert shares how commercial property owners can tap into the $26 billion co-working boom, and policy reforms are driving growth in India's commercial real estate sector. Plus, the Boulder Chamber integrates a commercial real estate group. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply CRE. We start off with the co-working industry, which has seen explosive growth in recent years, with the market now valued at over $26 billion. Commercial property owners are taking notice and increasingly looking to enter this lucrative space. To dive deeper into this trend, we're joined now by our correspondent. So why are we seeing so many property companies enter the co-working business?
Well, David, the number one reason is simply that they can make more money with co-working. These shared workspaces typically yield much higher rents per square foot compared to traditional long-term leases. Some property owners are seeing returns of a 130 to 170% of market rents by adopting the co-working model.
That's a significant premium over standard leases. What enables co-working spaces to generate those higher returns?
It really comes down to how the spaces are utilized. In a co-working setup, a single office may be rented out to 3 to 4 different members or companies over the course of a year. This allows the property owner to aggregate demand and charge higher prices per square foot. Contrast that with locking in a single tenant for multiple years at a lower rate.
So it's about maximizing revenue from every square foot by catering to multiple tenants with more flexible arrangements. But is this just about chasing higher profits, or are there other factors driving property owners to co-working?
Absolutely. The co-working model is also about adapting to the evolving needs of tenants. Increasingly, businesses of all sizes are seeking out more flexible workspace solutions rather than being locked into long-term leases. By offering co-working, property owners can meet the demands of a much wider range of potential tenants, from freelancers and startups to enterprise teams.
It sounds like co-working allows commercial real estate to be more dynamic and responsive to shifting market demands. For property owners still on the fence, what would be your advice?
The key is to recognize that the future of work is undoubtedly flexible. Co-working is no longer a niche concept, but rather a fundamental shift in how companies consume office space. Forward-thinking property groups are moving quickly to establish a presence in this market, whether by launching their own co-working brands or partnering with existing operators. Those that fail to adapt risk being left behind.
Fascinating insights on the rise of co-working and its impact on commercial real estate. Thanks for joining us. Shifting our focus to India, the country's commercial real estate sector has seen robust growth in recent years, driven by factors like rapid urbanization, infrastructure development, and population growth. But government policies have also played a key role in catalyzing the industry. Here to discuss some of the most impactful policy changes is our correspondent. So, what would you say have been the most significant policy reforms affecting commercial real estate in India lately?
Well, David, there have been several landmark policy changes in the last decade that have really transformed the landscape for commercial real estate. One of the most important was the introduction of the Real Estate Regulation and Development Act, or RERA, back in 2016. RERA mandated things like registration of real estate projects, disclosure of project details, and adherence to timelines and quality standards. This greatly increased transparency and accountability in the sector, which boosted consumer confidence and investment.
And what about on the taxation front? I understand there have been some key changes there as well that have impacted real estate.
Absolutely. The rollout of the Goods and Services Tax in 2017 was another major milestone. GST essentially consolidated several indirect taxes into a single tax. This simplified the tax framework for real estate, giving developers a more streamlined process and reducing instances of tax evasion. For property buyers, it meant more transparency and smoother transactions.
Foreign investment has also picked up in Indian real estate in recent years. What's been driving that trend?
the government has progressively relaxed FDI norms for the real estate sector, paving the way for increased overseas investment. In fact, between 2017 and 2022, the real estate sector saw FDI inflows totaling $26.6 billion, a clear sign of the positive impact of this policy measure. Beyond just the capital, this FDI liberalization has also brought global best practices and tech innovation to the industry.
Another acronym we often hear in the context of real estate investment is REITs, or Real Estate Investment Trusts. Can you explain what those are and how they're shaping the industry?
REITs were first established in India in 2014. Essentially, they are entities that manage or fund income-generating real estate assets by pooling capital from a number of investors. This allows individual investors to get exposure to commercial real estate in an indirect way, earning rental income similar to how they would earn dividends or interest from stocks. REITs have really opened up the commercial real estate market to a wider pool of investors.
Finally, with ESG investing becoming increasingly prominent, how are environmental regulations impacting the real estate sector in India?
Green building certifications like LEED and GRIHA have definitely gained a lot of traction among commercial real estate projects in recent years. There's been a big push towards sustainability and eco-friendly construction practices. This aligns the sector with the growing ESG focus among investors, both domestic and foreign, further boosting its investment appeal.
Thanks for that insightful overview of how policy reforms have unlocked potential in India's commercial real estate market. Shifting our focus to more local developments, the Boulder Chamber and the Commercial Brokers of Boulder Advocacy Group are joining forces in an effort to better support the local commercial real estate industry as it adjusts to new challenges in the post-pandemic era. Office vacancies have remained high in certain areas like downtown Boulder. Here with more details is our Simply CRE correspondent. What can you tell us about the goals of this new partnership?
The Boulder Chamber and Commercial Brokers of Boulder, or CBB, believe that by working together more closely, they can leverage their respective strengths and market intelligence to address the office vacancy issues that are occurring. The Chamber has always collaborated with CBB and individual brokers and property owners, but formally integrating CBB's 90 members into the Chamber's professional infrastructure creates a natural partnership that can serve positive, synergistic purposes for both parties.
And how will this integration work from an operational standpoint? What changes for CBB by joining forces with the Chamber?
CBB will be folded into the Boulder Chamber's Economic Vitality Unit, which is overseen by Joseph Hovankak, who was hired by the Chamber late last year. Hovankak previously led economic initiatives in Florida that addressed resiliency, racial equity, entrepreneurship, and economic mobility. From an administrative perspective, the Chamber can take a lot of the operational tasks off CBB's plate, such as booking meetings, organizing events, and driving attendance. This professionalization of CBB's administration was a big draw for the group.
What are the key issues facing the commercial real estate broker community in Boulder that this new integrated approach aims to address?
The world of commercial real estate is always challenging, even in good economic times. But the stubbornly high office vacancies that have emerged post-pandemic, particularly in downtown Boulder, are a major concern. The Chamber and CBB believe that a stronger connection between the Chamber's economic vitality efforts and the availability of commercial space will help tackle this issue. The Chamber can rely on brokers' on-the-ground market intelligence, while brokers can leverage the varied professional acumen of the Chamber.
It sounds like both organizations see this as a win-win by combining their knowledge, resources, and member bases to support Boulder's commercial real estate ecosystem. What's the ultimate goal?
At the end of the day, everyone has an interest in filling empty office buildings and commercial structures. CBB's Vice President Aaron Speer believes the integration with the Chamber is going to lead to more awareness of the issues facing the broker community and better policy on commercial real estate in Boulder. The Chamber's President John Taylor sees the partnership serving positive, synergistic purposes for all involved. The hope is that by working hand in hand, they can better support local brokerages, businesses, and property owners navigating a challenging and changing commercial real estate landscape.
The Boulder Chamber and Commercial Brokers of Boulder certainly seem to have high hopes for what their new partnership can achieve for the local commercial real estate industry. It will be interesting to see how it all unfolds. Thanks for that update. Meanwhile, in Dallas County, commercial property values have spiked more than 20% in the past year, according to the Central Appraisal District, despite a significant slowdown in deal flow. Here with more details is our Simply CRE correspondent. What can you tell us about these surprising preliminary valuations?
The Dallas Central Appraisal District, or DCAD, released estimates showing double-digit percentage increases in assessed values across all commercial real estate sectors compared to a year ago. Industrial properties saw the biggest jump, with values rising over 50% on average, and even doubling for some lower-tier industrial assets. Multifamily values are up 20%, retail values increased 10%, and office values rose 5 to 10%. This comes as quite a shock to many owners and tax consultants, considering commercial property sales volume was down 58% last year, amid rising interest rates and a growing gap between what buyers were willing to pay and sellers were willing to accept.
If sales comparables are limited due to the slowdown in transactions, how are appraisers justifying these huge valuation increases?
Appraisers seem to still be relying on capitalization rates from over a year ago, before the market shifted, rather than adjusting to the current reality. Tax consultant Ryan Chismark of Meritax Advisors called this practice simply not an acceptable metric given where the market stands today. He thinks the huge spike in industrial values in particular may be the appraisal district's attempt to mark to market and catch up those assessments that have lagged in prior years, but says a 50 to 100% increase is not warranted.
How are property owners and tax representatives likely to respond to these preliminary notices?
Protests are expected to be up across the board, with many gearing up for litigation if needed. As John Redmond from Altus Group noted, owners almost always protest even in a terrible market, but the shock to office and industrial owners will be most acute. Over $9 billion was cut from DCAD's preliminary values last year through the protest and litigation process. While this year may be more contentious than normal, Chismark believes the vast majority will ultimately reach an acceptable agreement with the appraisal district. In his words, "We've seen this movie before. It ends amicably. It's just a matter of time and process."
It will certainly be interesting to see how this all plays out for Dallas commercial property owners in the coming weeks and months. Thanks for that update. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply CRE. We'll see you back here tomorrow.